Hello. This is part one in a podcast series, Think Rather of Zebra. I'm Jay Staley, and here's the story on today's podcast. About a decade ago, I was approached by Dr. Ruby Payne and asked to put together a collection of stories that paralleled the work that she had created and published in the book, A Framework for Understanding Poverty. The purpose of Framework, which has now sold more than a million copies, was to help educators focus on the resources that students bring to the educational setting and how those resources or lack of resources impact the success of students as they navigate the educational system. Dating clear back to the late 60s and President Lyndon Johnson's war on poverty, the data about schools is quite clear. There is a gap in success between children from middle class and children from poverty. It is a gap that has continued into the 21st century and triggered such legislation as No Child Left Behind. What is most troubling about this gap in the age of information, when cities, states, and nations are trying to create human capital, is that the success of a people is based on the educational success of all those people. In A Framework for Understanding Poverty, it was Dr. Payne's hope to help people think differently about economic class and how it impacts education. When she approached me with this project, I asked her, "What kind of stories are you looking for?" And she replied, "I want teaching tales. Stories enter the brain in a different way than factual material. They are processed and stored in a different place in the brain and can be retained and retrieved at times and in ways that factual material cannot." I thought immediately of this Zen tale, and it is from this tale that we take the name of the story collection and the title of this podcast. A student had studied with the master for a long time and felt that he was finally ready to leave his teacher and go out into the world. "I am sorry," the teacher told him with a gentle smile, "but you are not quite ready, for you have yet to learn the meaning of story." The student looked so disappointed that his teacher added, "When you go out to meet the world, you must be armed with the understanding that stories can teach us a new way of seeing things, of thinking about those things, and of responding to them." Now, because he could see that his students still did not understand, the wise teacher reached out to help once again. "When you hear hoofbeats," he asked, "what comes to mind?" "Why, a horse, certainly," replied the student with confidence. "That is because you have become conditioned, and in that conditioning, you have fallen asleep. When you hear hoofbeats," the teacher prodded, "think rather of zebra." In the eye of the student, a glimmer of understanding shone. Turning to the teacher, he said, "Tell me a story." What follows that story, from the introduction of Think Rather of Zebra, dealing with aspects of poverty through story, is a collection of 42 more tales gathered and adapted to directly connect with Dr. Payne's framework. It is through this collection of stories, followed by the questions Dr. Payne has written to help us think more deeply about the content, that I will try to get you to think differently about schools and how they approach under-resourced learners. Whenever I relate my storytelling work to Dr. Payne's work on poverty, I am reminded of the story of the man who survived the Johnstown flood. The Little Conemaugh River and the Stony Creek River merge at the western edge of Johnstown, Pennsylvania, to form the Conemaugh River. On the last day of May in 1889, after several days of rain, the South Fork Dam, 14 miles north of the town on the Little Conemaugh River, gave way, and a wall of water came crashing down the valley and inundated the city of Johnstown. 2,209 people perished in the flood. There was at least one man who survived, and this is his story. Following the disaster, there were a few survivors who moved away and others who managed to pick up the pieces and go on with their lives. But this man, This man could not get the event out of his mind. Every time he met up with someone, he had to tell them the story of how he survived the Johnstown flood. If he saw someone in the hardware store, he'd ask, "Have I told you the story of how I survived the Johnstown flood?" And without waiting for an answer, he would launch into the tale. When he saw someone at church, he would start in, "Let me tell you the story about the day I survived the Johnstown flood." After a while, people grew weary. If they saw him coming toward them on the sidewalk, they would cross the street so as to avoid yet another telling of the tale. Now, old age eventually did to our friend what the Johnstown flood did not. One day he died and went to heaven. And when he arrived, St. Peter informed him that on the first day in heaven, everyone can have a wish granted. The man smiled with anticipation. I can have anything?" "Why not?" said St. Peter. "It's heaven, isn't it?" To this, the man replied, "Can you gather all the heavenly hosts together so I can tell them the story of how I survived the Johnstown flood?" "Oh, I can do that," St. Peter replied, "but I need to warn you. When you begin your story, Noah will be in the audience." So, at the risk of being bold, I present Dr. Payne's work through this collection of stories. Each chapter of the book and each podcast deals with a new topic. As noted previously, at the end of each chapter in the book, Dr. Payne has included a series of questions that helps the reader focus on the concepts, and during the podcast, we will be looking at those questions as the stories unfold. If you wish to purchase a copy of either book, you can do so through Amazon or at the AHA Process website, www.ahaprocess.com. Dr. Payne's book is Framework for Understanding Poverty, and my book is Think Rather of Zebra, Dealing with Aspects of Poverty Through Story. Before we finish today's podcast, I want to leave you with this old tale, adapted by my storytelling colleague, Jim May. The wise man had slept the night at the edge of the village. He awakened at his usual time, just before sunrise. As a warm wind moved over the land, gathering faint aromas that sweetened the air, a small garden here, a tiny blossom there, the pungent whisper memory of a dying waterhole. He sat up, looked to the east where the sky was beginning to lighten, and began his morning devotions, starting with prayer as he had done almost every day of his life. It was during these prayers that the sound of hurried footsteps greeted his ears, and then a voice behind him, "Master, Master, where is it?" The old man turned slowly, and there standing behind him was a young peasant, dressed in rags. The young man was excited, his chest heaving up and down, his eyes intense and piercing. The old man studied the young man for a long moment. "What is it that you ask of me?" The young man bowed slightly to his elder, seeming to calm himself a bit, and spoke. "I had a dream last night, and in my dream I came to the edge of the village and met a holy man, and now here you are. In my dream, that holy man gave me a precious jewel." "Ah," replied the old man as he reached into a tattered cloth bag and retrieved a ruby the size of a fist. "You must mean this. I found it. I don't remember where, but I have no use for it. Here, you may have it." With that, the old man handed the ruby to the young peasant, a man whose hand had never held more than 2 copper coins at one time. The young man took the ruby. He could not believe his good fortune. He held it up to the sun, his face awash in red shadow. He walked home slowly, holding the jewel in his hand, his arm outstretched in front of him. He could not take his eyes off of it. Returning to his small cottage, he placed the ruby on the table, pulled up the one chair that he owned, and sat all day admiring his treasure. He would turn the stone this way and that, slowly, reverently stroking this great gift over and over as the hours passed. That night, the young man had difficulty sleeping. Early in the morning, he awoke, took the ruby, and returned to the edge of the village in search of the old man. When his prayers were once again interrupted, the holy man asked if there was a problem. Handing the ruby back to the holy man, the young peasant said, "I do not want this. I want what you know that made it so easy for you to give it away." Just like that young man, you have tuned into this podcast because you are searching for answers to big questions. And I'm hoping to help us look at the challenge of educators as they try to close the academic success gap. Perhaps we can think differently and view the challenge with new eyes. I invite you to tune in to the second in this series of podcasts where we will delve into the power of story. Until then, see the world with a different stripe. Think rather of zebra.